It's just a great pleasure to have Richard with us this morning. And I asked if I could introduce him, because I met Richard, about, I think it was about 4 years ago, roughly. Five? Oh, dear. I was trying to work that out. But I remember sitting in our business office, a work office, and him telling me about this vision, about a wall of prayer. And I think initially in my head, a wall was, you know, a brick wall, like I was building an extension, so, you know, it's like that. and I thought, well, walls sort of divide, don't know, how can that be really a testimony to God? But when he started to actually describe the vision, something started inside of me that was, this is exciting, this is good. And you know, I knew at that point that I had to sort of be on board and join Richard and the team that started growing. And you know what? It's just been a pleasure to watch it and be involved in it in a little way. But I know that, you know, there's been ups and downs in the whole project so far, and there's a long way to go. But I know also that Richard's a man of God and a complete... he's just got so much perseverance. I don't know how he keeps going sometimes, but a man of faith. And I just want us to welcome him this morning and hear what he's got to say, because... you know, his story is our story as well. You know, we've all got our own story, and but it's just hopefully going to be encouraging to hear what he's got to say to us. And well, I just want to welcome him this morning as a friend as well as the speaker.
Listen, great to be here. Greg did travel down at 6 o'clock this morning. I went for the hotel option. I am not the hero in the room here. So a little bit about me. I planted churches, got saved, planted some churches, was rubbish at it, decided to run a software company, which was very successful and sold. But my claim to fame is that I used to be chaplain of Leicester City Football Club. And I know I've already lost the Spurs supporter at the back there, but I was only there when we were rubbish. So, you know, some may argue that may still be the case. But okay, so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to tell you about the Wall of Answered Prayer, obviously, and you'll see on your seats that we have a pamphlet, a leaflet. And what I would like you to do, if you can today or in the next week, is to share with us your story of answer prayer. So that's where we're going to get to. But before I tell you sort of some of the amazing stories that God has done for us in this journey, I thought I'd better really tell you why we're doing it. You know, God gave me this vision 15 years ago, been carrying it that time. But, you know, why are we doing this? First of all, I'd like you to just think of a time where God has answered a prayer in your life. So just take your mind back to a time where you've prayed and Jesus has answered. And it might be a massive thing, it might be a small thing. But just think about that moment. Now, why do we pray? What is the point of praying? Might seem a strange question, but for me, prayer is a journey, and I better not walk there. I'm going to start my journey here. That looks a bit dodgy, but it's a journey. You know, we walk along and we're getting to know Jesus more intimately as we go. He's our Father, and we keep walking with him and we keep talking to him. And for me, that is what prayer is about. But then along our journey, there are times when we pray and he answers our prayer. Woohoo. And then we might walk a bit further and we pray again and he answers again. And then sometimes we pray and we don't get exactly what we ask for. But he still answers our prayer. Sometimes we pray there and we don't get the answer for ages. And it's right way down the journey, decades down. Sometimes we pray. Sometimes we pray and the answer is no. Nobody wants a bounty. Okay? So we'll chuck a form, a few more answer prayers. So what is our relationship to those answer prayers? What is an answer prayer to us? And I can't get it out of the bag, but there we go. Gosh. There we go. What is this answer? Let's take this Yorkie bar as being an answer prayer, okay? What is this to us? Is it just a moment in time where the divine decides to intervene in our lives, which is an amazing thing, by the way? Let's not take that for granted. The God who created the heaven, who created time itself, decides to intervene in our life. That's a big thing. But what is its significance to us? Why did God specifically answer that prayer for you at that moment in time? Why did he do that? See, I believe every answer prayer is a gift. Every answered prayer is a gift from God. And it is filled with the DNA of God. It's filled with his thumbprint. So if we take time to meditate on why he answered that prayer for us, we actually learn who he is. And we actually learn who he is to us. And that's why the Word of God, if you look through all the books of the Bible over and over again, there's this theme of remembrance. There's this theme of remembering what God has done. You know, Jacob laid a stone to remember his encounter with God. They crossed over the Jordan. What did they do? They took 12 stones and shipped them to, carried them to Gilgal to remember what God had done. If you look in Judges, you'll see that those stones are still there like 300 years later for the people of that nation to remember what God done in what God did in delivering them. Why does the psalmist in the Psalms go over and over about talking about meditating on the marvelous deeds of the Lord? Let's declare the deeds of the Lord. Let's not forget the things that he's done, the things that he's done. Why is that so important? And yet it's throughout the Word of God. You know, when they had, if you ever want to do a cool Bible study, look at the uses of staff, of the word staff in the Old Testament. Because the shepherds, what they used to do is when they were sort of shepherding their flock, if God provided for them or protected them, they made a mark on the staff. They remembered what God had done. And so if you look at that as a study and see thy rod and thy staff comforted me, you know, that is, I remembered the things that God done in my life, and that was a comfort to me. When Moses, you know, held the staff above the Red Sea, waiting for it to part, was he looking at the Red Sea going, this is going to be a bit tricky? Or was he actually looking at the staff and remembering the miracles that God had done? When we look in the New Testament then, when Jesus broke bread and he said, do this, what? In remembrance of me, we've sort of religiosized that a little bit and always talk of that in the context of what he did on the cross, which is, you know, of course, that's good and right to do. But also remembering Jesus is remembering the things that he's done in our lives. So when we have the covenant meal, we can remember the things that he has done. You see, I believe every single answer prayer is a gift. And this is what happens, or maybe this is just me, right? So sometimes we pray and we say, Lord, can you help me in that meeting tomorrow? Give me peace for that meeting tomorrow. And we have the meeting and we get peace and the meeting's really successful. And what we do is we completely forget that we prayed about it and we just walk past it and don't even capture the fact that God has answered our prayer. But it's a great habit to write down what you prayed for and then write down when he's answered. Because then you pick up the answered prayer on your journey. And then the next answered prayer, you pick it up. And you pick up the one that wasn't quite what you wanted. And you pick up the next one. And then you're in a storm. And one day you're in a storm saying, Lord Jesus, how am I going to get through this? And then you recount your answer prayers. Because the answer prayers tell you God's relationship to you. So there's a great bit in... I'm going to get to eat loads of chocolate this week, by the way. There's a great bit in Matthew 16, where the disciples they're walking with Jesus and they've forgotten the bread. Okay, and I'm imagining these teenagers walking along, and bear in mind they've recently forgot the bread, and Jesus has had to do a few miracles to feed a few thousand people. And I imagine them walking along and going, have you got the bread? Oh, fuck, God, no, it's your job to get the bread. No, it was your... And you can imagine them going, oh, my word, we've forgotten it again. He was reasonably gracious the first time, but we're in big trouble now. And then they're going along and they're panicking. And then Jesus says, he's obviously heard them, hasn't he? And then he says, you know, you need to look out for the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then they've obviously gone, oh, he's realized we've forgotten the bread. And then Jesus rebukes them and says, how have you forgotten? How is it you do not remember the miracle when I fed the 4,000, when I fed the 5,000? Now, I cannot believe, you know, and I've got a really bad memory, okay? But I cannot believe these guys had forgotten what had happened. Now, my memory is awful. I find it completely ironic that God has given me a passion for talking about remembrance, but I can't remember when my wife's birthday is. You know, when I phone up the bank and they go, security question, and they go, your wife's birthday? I'm like, oh, give me another one. Give me a different one. You know, I can spend 20 minutes trying to get out of the house with my phone, keys, and my wallet. And I can tell you, just in context, I lost my wallet last Friday. I don't know where it is. I might have left it on my car and driven off. I just don't know. But, you know, I forget things. But they could not have forgotten this. I mean, you do not forget feeding over 10,000 people, because the 4,000, the 5,000 was just referring to the men. You're talking about 10,000 people. You can imagine that mass of people and their... They were breaking the bread, and it was, I believe, multiplying in the disciples' hands as well. It wasn't just Jesus, because Jesus said to them, you give them the food. They couldn't have forgotten that. So what is it that they forgot? I think they forgot the meaning of the gift of that answer prayer, if you like. And the meaning was that Jesus is the Lord of all provision. And Jesus was saying, I'm going to supply for you. So if God, is anyone here, has God provided for anyone here? Just put your hand up if God provided for you. Come on. So all of us with our hands up, never need to worry about provision again. I just want you to know, I'm speaking that to myself as well at the same time. We never need to worry because God has already provided once. And if he's done it once, he'll do it again and again and again and again. So what we can do is, when we're at that time where we're going, how are we going to do this? We can start to remember the answer prayers and go, God, you've done it again. So can you do it again? And instead of our brains being fixed in the now, which I think our Western culture has created, we start to remember the God who's answered prayers in our life. And just to really, you know, just going to be really honest with you, it's a hard thing trying to build a national landmark that's Christian in this country. I've decided to ramp it up and call it the wall just to add extra levels of difficulty for Trump supporters and stuff like that. And it's a difficult journey. And a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I got to the point where I realised I wasn't going to be able to pay my mortgage. And I'd done everything I possibly could. I called to the bank manager and just like, I'd talked to people. I'd begged some people to help me. And there I was Saturday morning. And I looked at my bank balance and I was like, well, I'm going to go overdrawn. I'm going to go over my overdraft limit. I'm not going to be able to pay my mortgage. And I put on the worship tape. Not worship tape, that makes me sound really old. I actually went to Google Home, okay? Just want to be up and trendy. But I just put on some worship songs. And I started worshiping. I started singing that song, you know, you're my foundation. You know, I'll trust in you, my foundation. And while I'm singing, I'm remembering all those times that he's provided for me, knowing that he's going to do it again. But just like, I don't know how this is going to pan out. I can't see it, but I know that the God who's provided for me once will do it again and again and again. And that's what I did. And then 30 minutes later, I wish all my answer prayers worked on such a time scale. But 30 minutes later, the phone went, and somebody had woken up. And as soon as he woke up, his first thought was, I need to give some money to Richard and Sarah. Incredible provision of God. But that's the power of the testimony. And we've been in times where we've shared testimony. So I don't have time to tell you the full story, but I had a disease in my spine that was incurable, and God healed that disease. And I had it for 20 odd years, and God healed it. And the doctors were like, you've been lucky. And I was like, that's not quite how it works. But I've shared that testimony and the power of testimony. Revelation 19 talks about the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. In other words, if you speak a story of what God's done, you're prophesying for it to happen again. For me, just sharing that story with you about provision, if there's anyone who needs provision right now, claim that for yourself. Because God has no favorites. But what we've done is we've changed the atmosphere just by telling a story, and we've seen people healed of back crushed vertebrae and all sorts in the meetings as we've traveled around just by sharing the story of what God's done with one back. So if that's what we can do with one story, what could we do with a million stories? Because what we're doing is building the wall of answer prayer with a million stories of the things that God has done. Just imagine what we're going to do for the spiritual atmosphere of this nation. If ever this nation needed hope, yeah, it's now. If ever this nation needed Jesus, it's now. And that is why we're doing it. So please, you know, I won't use many more scriptures. There's a few spare chocolates there. One of them's a bounty, I'm sorry. But I'm going to share with you now. That's the reason why we're doing this. And there's loads of scripture around remembrance. It's a thread that runs through the Word of God. And I think we need to recapture it. And it's interesting, if you look at the Israelites, they caught that concept. You know, the Jewish people, even now, have not forgotten the story of what God did to deliver their nation. they have traditions to make sure that they pass it through their generations. The Christian church, I feel like we've forgotten to remember. Let me tell you one story. Has anybody seen the film Dunkirk? Reasonably good film. Absolutely, 100% missed the reason of the story. They didn't put it in. They missed it out. On the 24th of May, King George VI called this nation to pray. Churchill was told that of the 400,000 odd troops that were on the beach at Dunkirk, that at best they could get 20 to 30,000 out. And of course, that was the bulk of the British Army. So on the 24th, King George said, in a live radio broadcast, he said these words, in this time of trial, we will do what our fathers did, and we will call on the Lord Most High. You know, we're in this like multicultural society now where that sort of stuff would be mocked now, but the King of England called the nation to pray. There are photographs of millions of people queuing outside churches to pray for the nation. On the 26th of May. On the 28th of May, Hitler, nobody knows the reason why, totally overruled his commanders and told the armies to stop going forward. Nobody knows why. They then got the boats they got every boat they possibly could to try and rescue them off the beaches. But then a storm came, which grounded, just coincidentally, by the way, a storm came which grounded the Luftwaffe, which meant that they couldn't bomb them on the beaches. A few planes got through, and there's an account of one army chaplain who, as one plane came over, you know, just fell to his face on the sand, and for what seemed like an eternity, you know, that the bombs were coming and that the machine gun fire from the plane was coming. And then when the plane went off to refuel, he realized that he hadn't been hit. And he got up and there was a silhouette of his body in the sand, just surrounded by bullets. And he just stood amazed as more and more people on the beach just got up. And then just by coincidence, the sea calmed. So there's a storm in one part, the sea's calmed, and there's also a fog, so that they've got a cover. And they got, I think it was 360,000 people off that beach. That is a miracle that's happened in our nation. An answered prayer. And we've forgotten it. And Hollywood has told its story and decided to just miss the best bit out. So that is why we're doing the Wall of Answer Prayer. We're going to have 75,000 stories of answer prayer. And then all your stories too. So let me show first video, which should just explain a little bit more, and I'll get my composure back.
Ten things you may not know about the Wall of Answered Prayer.
Number one. So what will the bricks look like? Well, we're not going to inscribe them. What you're going to be able to do is hold your phone up to a brick and your phone should light up and tell you the specific story relating to that brick, either by audio, video or text.
Number two. How will you read the bricks that you can't reach? We will have touchscreens that will allow visitors to type in any circumstance or situation and see the answered prayers that relate to that story. We will have tourist binoculars, which will zoom in on a brick and have the same effect.
Number three, what else will there be on site? There'll be a visitor centre, and in it, a 24/7 prayer room where we'll be praying for the nations. There'll also be an exhibition which will align with the RE curriculum, where you can go and learn what Christians believe about Jesus and how he answers our prayers.
Number four, will it be multi-faith? This will be a public piece of art about Jesus. We believe that a multi-faith society is about having the freedom to express your faith. That said, in the exhibition, we will have other faiths' views on who they believe Jesus is and let people make their own decisions.
Number five, what about unanswered prayers? Some bricks will represent immediate answers to prayer, some will have maybe waited decades for the answer, and others the answer will have been no. Visitors will be able to see those stories and how people have coped. To support them, we'll have trained chaplains available.
Number six, will my name be on a brick? All our bricks will be anonymous. We think it's safer to do it that way. And at the end of the day, we want to point to the one who answers, not to the ones that ask.
Number seven, are the answered prayers all from this generation? So we're getting historians to collect answered prayers from St. Augustine in the 6th century to the millions who queued outside churches and prayed for the boys on the beaches of Dunkirk.
Number eight, are bricks limited to people in the UK? We estimate around 750,000 answered prayers will come from the UK and the rest from around the world.
Number nine, how will it be funded? We're hoping to crowdfund this. Once the wall is completed, we'll be donating 1 million bricks to social housing. This should build around 100 homes. And each year, the profit from this will go into UK charities.
Number 10, where will it be? The wall will be built near Coleshill Manor, and it will be designed by Snug Architects.
So let me tell you a little bit about the journey, because it is remarkable, and I know Clevedon is a bit of a hotbed for faith, because so I know there's a number of you that has helped us on this journey and been remarkable, and I thank you for that. 15 years ago, I felt God tell me to carry a cross around Leicestershire, 77 miles. For a week, just carrying a cross, dressed in a suit, just because I wanted people to think about Jesus. And I realized as I was doing it that something special was happening, that it was really making people think, and I was hearing about all these conversations that were happening, and it got covered by local TV, it got covered by the radio. It was like, I think we worked out about 250,000 people saw it. I've had people come up to me in the years since saying they never spoke to me, but they just saw the cross, but it was a catalyst in them giving their life to Jesus. Incredible. My dad, who's not a Christian, was in a governmental meeting. At the time, he was quite high up in prison education. And he was in this meeting, and he said, in the middle of the meeting, he said, this woman just interrupted the meeting and just went, I saw the weirdest thing on the way to work this morning. There was this bloke in a suit carrying a cross. And my dad then said, well, that was my son, and then proceeded, even though he's not a Christian, proceeded to share the gospel with the whole room. So, you know, incredible. So I'm like, God is doing something here. And so as I was walking around, I prayed and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do next? And then he gave me this idea of building a wall of answer prayer. Now, I am not only, I've told you I'm not very good at remembering, I'm the least practical guy you could ever meet. So Bill, you know, people go, oh, Richard sacrificed his architectural career. I was like, no. I set fire to my own bathroom. I nearly chopped a 60-foot tree into my house one day. You know, I'm not Mr. Practical. But I just believed it was what God wanted me to do. So for 10 years, I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get this started. And then one day, God just gave me the green light and said, it's time to do this. And that's when I sort of had the meetings with Pete and Hello Creative and Nick here. And we got the ball rolling, and we did this crowdfunding. And so you may know a bit of that. I hope the guys told you at the time. If they didn't, you know. But we did this crowdfunding, and we launched it on the Claire Boulding Good Morning Britain. And I'm like thinking, oh, we're going to nail this. I mean, if I knew what I know now, I would not have got started. And God's been really gracious in allowing my naivety and just keeping me on the journey. But within a day of the Claire Balding sort of launch, I realized we weren't going to hit our target. We needed to raise 45,000 to run this architectural competition, need to build the website. And I realized we weren't going to do it. We weren't going to get the numbers. I'd done my homework. And so I then had a horrible, what I would say is the worst, this campaign was on for 40 days, I had the worst 36 days of my life. I mean, it was horrific. I was being sick, had headaches. I was like looking at my phone, just thinking, bleep, tell me there's been another donation. And, you know, like some, you know, like a 2-3 days before £10 went in, you know. And what I found as I went through the journey was the less happy people were to talk to me. You know, the phone, people stopped picking up the phone when they saw Richard Gamble come up on their mobile phone. Emails were unanswered. At church, people were like, all right, Rich, how you doing? Oh, you good? Yep. Because people knew I was going to fail. And it made them uncomfortable. And 4 days to go. We need £22,500 in 4 days. And I basically decided to do something I've never done before in my life, which is pray through the night. And I prayed through the night, and I had an encounter with God, and I felt him say, I'm behind you, and your job now is to be at peace, to lead in peace. Don't email anybody, don't phone anybody, just be at peace. And it took me 2 days to get to peace, wrestling with God. But realizing that what he was saying was, this is his project, not mine. And then at that moment when I hit that piece, the money came flooding in. And we actually hit it with a day to spare. Incredible answer prayer. Incredible. Claire Balding's producer phoned up straight away. She went, Claire's been watching it every day. She didn't think you were going to do it. Let's get you back on the show. And then we've had all these provisions. And so we've run this architectural competition, and I'll show you the design now. So we've had so many times where, you know, Pete has, you know, Lord, how am I going to get a website done? I meet Pete, you know, I mean it's just mad. I mean, it really is mad. You know, I sit there, you know, I'll give you a little example. I've got loads of these stories, but just about a month ago, I sat in my car and I just thought, I can't do this. I'm overwhelmed. I've got too much to do. And I needed somebody that was of a really high level to like carry through some of the stuff that I needed to do. And like that takes 6 months to find somebody like that. And I haven't got 6 months. And so I sat in the car with my head in my hands and I prayed. And I said, Father, I need some help. On the Wednesday, I met with an investor, and I said, look, I'm just going to be honest, I'm a bit overwhelmed. I need to find somebody to help me. And he said, oh, I've got... He talked through a few names. Then he went, I've got a really crazy idea. I've just got somebody's name pop in my head. Always a good sign. And he mentioned this guy's name, which is Dave Silber, and I'd known Dave from years back, and I'm like, well, Dave's a great guy. Dave would be phenomenal, but Dave's got his own charity. He started it himself. He's been running it 20 years. It's highly successful. And he said, well, let's just give him a ring. Gave him a ring. Dave then tells me that him and his wife had decided in the last month that he's going to step down from the charity. He then tells me that he started to look for jobs, and then God brought him a word. Don't look for jobs. I've got something for you. And an unexpected door is going to open. So Monday, prayed. Wednesday, had a chat. Friday, he starts work. You know, that's the favor of God. Let me show you a little bit about that. I did it. I did the pointing thing. Here we go. Oh, have I turned it on? No, that always helps. Here we go. So just to give you an idea of scale, You could fit Winchester Cathedral underneath that in terms of height. It's about three times the size of the Angel of the North. It's 50 metres tall, and the whole distance around the wall, which is a Möbius strip. So if you get a strip of paper and twist it and then connect it, it's like an infinity strip, which we believe represents our infinite God. And if you have a look at the design at the back, and if you get it at a certain angle, you'll see like the eight infinity sign. And we're going to get Hello Creative to brand that for us. Now we know what it looks like. So this will be the view as you come along the M6, come along the road that we need to build to get to it, go into the entrance. You can't at this point see the huge arch. Then you're actually inside the wall. The wall splits either side, and this is where the whole exhibition area is. And then if you go through, you realize that you're in it and the arch is on the other side. And then we'll have an exhibition there talking about what Christians believe about Jesus answering prayer. And I love this bit, that as you walk around, then suddenly the wall starts to lift and then shoots up into the heavens. And then people will then be able to interrogate it and go around and use their phones. So the idea is you'll get an app, you'll download the app. You may say to them, hey, this the sort of answer prayers that I want to find. And then the app will guide you around and buzz, and then you'll be able to put your phone up and read the stories. And a little selfie spot as well, which is always important for a national landmark. And a cafe. We have to have a cafe. So we believe that it's going to be a place where people in the busyness of life are going to be able to come, and they'll be able to think about whether they should consider involving prayer in their life. And we'll create loads of spaces in the gardens around for them just to sit and think. We estimate we'll have about 300,000 to 400,000 visitors a year. And we'll tell you a little bit more about how many people are going to see it in a minute. So it's a massive, massive undertaking. I've had incredible favour. I've had meetings at Downing Street. I had to have another one recently. It looks like I might have to have another one. But incredibly, you know, just a blessing that when Theresa May left, I was like, oh gosh, I've got to get a new contact in Downing Street. And Boris, you know, what they do is they get rid of all the staff and they bring in all their own staff. But he kept my contact, and which is a miracle. And we've had multiple meetings in Parliament, multiple meetings with the council. And we're now at the stage where we are into the planning stage, and we're in good shape. We're in good shape. And the council at this point, we've got hoops and hurdles to get over and go through, but the council are positive. They like it. They like the thought of it. I mean, the Angel of the North has generated $500 million for the economy. So for them, it's sort of a no-brainer. So we're on the edge of Birmingham, and you know we have need. I need to find £95,000 in the next 8 weeks. Okay, now I could tell you that stresses me out, but it actually doesn't, because when I needed £22,000 in 4 days, he gave it to me. And we've gone on this journey where the provision of God has been phenomenal. You know, global companies giving me people's time for free that should cost me £100,000. I mean, unbelievable. So I know that he can do it. I don't know from whom or how many, but that's my prayer. So please pray for us on that one. And we have to be really precise in our planning application to make sure that there's no appeals. And the plan is to get this built by 2022 so that it will be ready for the Commonwealth Games, where the eyes of the world will be on Birmingham. That's the plan. But there should be one question that you should be asking. Is God in this? I love the bit in Acts. I can't remember the chapter, but there's a bit in Acts where it's all kicking off about Jesus and Paul and all of those. And the guy says, no, it wasn't. It was before Paul. And the guy says, if God is in this, we are not going to stop it. You know, we will get opposition. We are getting opposition. I do get, you know, the occasional phone call that's not that nice. But if God is in this, nobody is going to stop this. So the question is he in it? So we're going to show a video now and you can make up your own mind whether he is or he isn't.
So there I am, standing in front of Parliament in this reception with MPs, people from the House of Lords, national press, sharing this vision of wanting to build this national landmark. And I have this little voice in my ear going, you haven't got any money in the bank. You haven't got any land. This is a complete fantasy.
I have to say, it's an incredibly ambitious, stunning project. Personally, I'm hoping it or something like it can come to pass.
It's got a great simplicity about it, and I'm sure it'll be an iconic structure.
It looks visually very impactful, and I think it's going to inspire a lot of people.
So how do you get land when you've got no money? Well, we prayed. And my wife and I went to a conference at a church in California. And this lady came up to us and she said, I've got a word from God for you.
Yeah, I saw heavenly land being given to you. I don't know if you're actually seeking land, property.
So we went back to my intercessors and I said, hey, look, listen to this word. And one of them, this lady called Sue, said, well, if God's told us that he's got the land already prepared, I'm just going to ask him for some more details.
And so I did. I was brushing my teeth and I was just praying. And it wasn't a particularly holy moment. It was just me talking to God like I talked to him. I just said, tell me something about the land. And as soon as I'd finished saying it, he told me, he gave me a word.
And she types the word into Google Maps, and up comes a dental practice. I guess that's God's sense of humour. Above the dental practice is a motorway, and then above that is a piece of land. And Sue circles the piece of land and emails me and says, this is the land, or the person who owns it is highly significant. What she didn't know was one of the family who owned the land had emailed me and asked to meet. So I meet this guy, just share the vision with him, and he's like stony-faced. I have no idea whether he likes it or not. And at the end then, he said, of course you know about the trust fund. And I didn't know about the trust fund, I hadn't done my research. But he had actually started a trust fund 6 months before God had given me that vision 15 years ago, and one of the aims of the fund was to start to build a national landmark, which was going to be about Jesus. So he said he'd go away and pray about it. I thought it was pretty obvious that God was in this. And then he came back a few weeks later and said that he prayed about it and he decided to give us some land. So in 2018, he gave us a piece of land, not the one that was circled, but a few miles away. But then for reasons beyond both our control, that land didn't work. And then a few months later, he gave us another piece of land. And again, that one didn't work. And then eventually they employed an architect to look at their portfolio of land and give us the piece that he thought would best suit us. And guess what? It was the land that Sue had circled only 2 years previous. And it is an incredible piece of land. It's in between two motorways. It's by HS2, high-speed train that's being built. And it's also in a flight path. We think 500,000 people will go past this monument every week. It's going to be absolutely perfect for the Wall of Answered Prayer.
So, if you've watched that and you've heard the stories today and you believe that God is in it, then we need your help. You know, this cannot be done by a team of people. It has to be done by the church across the UK, and we need your help. And I we are going to build the first ever crowdfunded national landmark where thousands of people have like, yeah, we're going to build that together. But we need your stories. We really need your stories. We need finance. We need skills. So I just ask you to pray and see what the Holy Spirit says. Just only go by what the Holy Spirit says. Don't go by the emotion and the crying. But can you help us? Because I believe this is a time where the nation needs hope. And we need to share with the nation that Jesus is their hope. And we need to share with them those stories. And you know what's interesting? If we go back to that thing that I did with the Yorkie Bars, the great thing is that we can look at those stories of our own and plot our own journey. But it's incredible when you start matching those stories with other people's stories. When you get a diagnosis from the doctor, the expertise of a doctor, and then balanced against that expertise of the doctor, you've got 500 stories of people who've called on God with exactly the same diagnosis and come through it. That is going to build faith in this nation like we've never seen before. So should we pray? Father God, I thank you for this time here. And I thank you, Father, for your incredible grace as you take us on this journey of becoming more and more intimate with you and getting to know you more and more. And I pray for everyone here who has recalled a time when you've answered a prayer. Lord, I pray that as they meditate on that this week, that you would open up to them new things, that they would see things that they didn't see before in that time, and that they would know in a deeper measure how much you love them, in a deeper measure how much you're for them. And Lord, that you would inspire them. Lord, I pray for people here who have crazy dreams that seem unachievable. Father God, I pray for them for the strength and the courage of conviction to step out in faith, even though the detail may not be thought through. And Lord, we know that you'll stand with them to work out that incredible dream that you've put in their hearts. I pray right now for dreams that have maybe died or just been shelved or put away, Lord, that you would resurrect them in people's hearts this morning. That you would inspire, that you would give faith to launch and go for it. Most of all, Father, we thank you that you are our Father who withholds no good gift. Lord, help us in the gifts that you've given us to not just hold them to ourselves, but in your word it says use your gift to serve others and help us to become a nation of storytellers who tell stories to the people we meet of the things that you've done so that you will never be forgotten, so that we will share your stories from generation to generation. Amen.